Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We got William Pollock, our guest today. He's going to be talking about revival. We got Jacob Phillips with us today. He's our co-host. He's going to stay our co-host for a little while longer. He'll probably be on here for good for the next couple of weeks, and you'll just hear him as a normal voice on this show. And it's a great pleasure to have a co-host, because I've been going for many years without a co-host. So you'll start hearing Jacob on here all the time. So, William, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, everyone. Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. My God. And I'm just so excited to be here because, you know, my brother here, he he contacted me. He's like, I want you to teach about revival. And what's ironic is right now in Ohio, we're in revival. God's been moving. We've been seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. We've been seeing, you know, it's absolutely phenomenal what the Father's been doing. And so it really, honestly, it's an honor just to talk about revival and what it means to me and how it actually, it's revival that changed my life. So, you know, it's more than just a teaching. I mean, this is a lifestyle. This is, you know, this is what brought the transformation change into my life and honestly, you know, catapulted our ministry, so to speak. So
hey,
I just want to thank
there.
You and say that again, brother.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have you on here. And I know revival
thank
is one of your subjects that you're real good at. And I know you did quite a few of them, and I know there's a lot of people that drive down the road and they see these revival signs, so they don't really understand what it's about. They don't really know much about it. They just see a lot of people, you know, sitting in a line, just jumping up and down at these tent meetings, don't know what it's all about. And this way, you know, you could go in details and explain to them exactly what they're doing, what revival is all about.
Exactly.
How it stirs up the Holy Spirit, and it really boosts you up with your communication with God and your connection with God. A lot of people need that. A lot of people get, you know, like they do, they get kind of stagnant in their relationship with God. And these revivals, they kind of help you get back where you need to be. And, you know, there's a lot of churches don't have revivals. They just have services every Sunday and maybe a little extra one during the holidays, and that's about it, but it ain't much
right
there. But they're kind of like a – go ahead, Jacob.
What churches want to call revival is a week long service that starts about 7 o'clock and ends at 10, and then, you know, they give God their card and say, hey, when we need you, call us back, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the average man is not going to be impressed, you know, by publicity posters or programs. You know, but I wrote this on Facebook, but, you know, let there be a – honestly, there needs to be a demonstration of the supernatural in the realm of religion. And you know what happens at once? Man will be arrested completely, because that's what happened to me. I was just coming for a normal Wednesday program that had an evangelist in, and I had the same – I had adopted the same mentality because I grew up Church of God 20 years. And, you know, it was nothing but – I mean, that was when I received my touch, and it was from there, 6 weeks of revival – that it was just like, you know, to me it was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Oh my gosh, come on, let's get out of church. But I just wanted more and more and more, and it went from 2 hours to 4 hours to 6 hours. And I came home and I still wasn't satisfied because I wanted to keep it going. I was like, Lord, I want more, more and more. So what I want to talk about today is the fact that, you know, many have this view, revival. And it's just a word. To me, it's nothing more than a word. It's a word that's not even in the Word of God. People don't even realize that. What revival they call revival, I call church as usual. I know that's absolutely preposterous, but I actually call this church as usual. It's how church should be. Okay, because and to really take a look at that and examine that, we need to take a step back and look in the book of Joel. So I want to go real fast to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Now, this is a prophecy by Prophet Joel of I truly believe, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Now, you got to remember, in the Old Testament, not everybody walked hand-in-hand with the Holy Spirit. I mean, we'd go a couple hundred years, maybe one person would actually have contact with God's Holy Spirit, with the anointing. You know, it was the very elect. We had David, we had Samuel. You know, it was just certain men of God that were really walking, the prophets, you know, hand-in-hand with the Holy Spirit. Then we fast forward into the book of Acts, chapter 1. You know, and I really want to get, most will quote verse 8, but I want to go back to verse 4 to give you an understanding. See, this is the coming of the promise that's straight from Jesus, because he's about to ascend into heaven. And it says here, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season for which the Father has put in his own authority. Now this part I love, verse 8, but you shall receive, come on guys, power, wow, come on, ooh, power, yeah, hallelujah, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this was the coming of the promise, and, you know, this is why they took 10 days, and, you know, we go right into the next chapter, chapter 2, you know, they had tarried for 10 days, I mean, and that's what happens, you know, here, you know, thousands of years later, we get a group of hungry believers, a hungry church, or even sometimes it's one pastor. I've heard stories of a pastor that, you know, he locked himself away for a year, seemingly pressing in for the promise. I mean, it really what they're praying and they're pressing into is for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because like you said, the church, you know, some people are getting a touch 20 years ago. And listen, a little dab will do you. It's not going to do, it ain't going to last you that long. You know, it says we have to have times of refreshing that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us, you know, and I believe much of the church today, it's like the valley of dry bones. I mean, they need some life breathed on them, and the Holy Spirit, you know, there's the ruach, the wind, the breath of God, and we need the breath of God right now to blow on these dry, dead, washed out, you know, Sunday, Wednesday Christianity churches. I mean, they're nothing, it's church as usual, and what I call, they call church as usual, and what I call church as usual, it is one defining difference, revival. Okay, and they need those paddles stuck on their chest, and they say, and pump some life back into them. Hallelujah. <Yep. laughs> You know, it's,
I mean,
like,
it's pretty bad when you go to church and you fall asleep, dude. I mean, you shouldn't
come
have
on,
enough time
be real.
To go to sleep, you know. Yeah.
Call it what it is.
Well, there was one guy back in the 1900s that was really hungry, and his name was William Seymour. He prayed 8 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he prayed and, you know, 3.5, you know, well, not 3.5 years later, the revival, the Azusa Street Revival lasted about 3.5 years. And it came from one man pouring his heart out saying, I need it, you know.
I know. And the story of William Branham is actually supernaturally compelling. You know, here he is. God uses him for revival, and he didn't even have the gifts of tongues. I'm like, this is amazing. And back in those days, they were very racist. So, you know, he wanted the gifts so bad. He was just pressing in. And look what the Lord did. You know, I just put a post up recently on Facebook. I'm going to read this. The church today is more religious than relational, having more fashion than passion. What they call prophetic is really pathetic, more superficial than supernatural. And, you know, and then I go on to say, I truly believe we are in desperate times, and we as the body of Christ need revival now more than ever before. We need God to awaken our hearts to the reality that we have access to the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that's the defining difference. That's when revival comes in, when there's a tearing, when people are tired of church as usual. They're like, hey, where's this healing Jesus? You know, they're seeking healing, but we need to seek the healer. They're seeking deliverance, but we need to seek the deliverer. This is the secret to the sauce. We really need to press in to through relationship, and that's where I was touched by revival, and it transformed my life and ministry.
I know there's one thing that Cross gave me at Revelations back maybe a month ago, and I was thinking about the church, and he was sitting and revealing to me that the churches he's talking about building was in people, not big buildings, not big congregations. He's talking about people. When you save a person, the Holy Spirit goes within that person. They become a church. When that person saves another person, they become a church. When the Holy Spirit is transferred from one body to another body and that fire is lit, that's became a church for God. And the thing of it is, nowadays, ain't nobody lighting no flame. They just give them a book and tell them to read, and there you go. That's not it, man. I mean, you got to build churches. You got to build churches in people. You got to build a temple for God and people.
Come on.
Not something where they got to memorize a couple of words and this and that. I mean, you could have a church out in the parking lot that's a gathering of believers that is filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a church. When you're walking around in Walmart yourself, you're a walking church. You're supposed to spread that fire of God amongst people. That's what he's talking about. Build my church. Build people. He wants you to build people, not buildings, but people. And that's the main thing about when we talk about, you know, we got to build these big churches. No, he wants you to build people. That's the thing about it is. Now, he did teach in synagogues.
Right.
Don't get me. He did teach in synagogues, but that was his Jewish way he was taught. But he was there to bring God into people. He was there to put God in people. Back then, they had to go to these great big old synagogues where they had to go to the synagogue to pray to the priest to go in there to a certain little room and pray to God for them with through sacrifices and all that. But when Jesus died, it knocked that sacrifice. He was a sacrifice for once and for all. And then we accepted him. They put the Holy Spirit in you on the day of Pentecost. But anyway, that's what it's all about. It's building people, building the church of people that's walking churches. And people get all that completely wrong. They think they can go to a confirmation. Now, there's some churches, some people turns out right. I mean, I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. But there's some people, I mean, I've ran into a lady maybe last year or so, and she'd been going to Bible class for a long time there at her church. She's like 65 years old. I never knew that she had to be fully united with the Holy Spirit. She said, I've been reading these Bibles for forever, and I've still not felt. I felt like I was missing something. I told her, I said, do you want to receive the Holy Spirit today? She said, sure. She said, I'd be a blessing. She received the Holy Spirit right there, and I saw a smile come on her face. Her husband ain't saw in years, man. And the next day we went by there. She's like, thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. I said, it wasn't me, lady. I said, that was Christ. I said, you just actually finally met him. And, you know, and then she can take and share it with her Bible study group, you know. And it'll start from there. That's what I'm talking. You gotta build these churches in people. People is where the church needs to be built, not the buildings around them, but in people. And it don't have to be in a building, it could be in a Walmart, it could be at your house, it could be on the street walking the sidewalk. That's what all Christ did. You didn't see Christ.
Well, that's generally what happens in revival. People get touched. They get an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, at first, it'll come upon the believers, because look how it did in the olden days when the coming of the promise, it was a handful of believers that had gotten together. They were waiting for the promise. Holy Spirit comes, and now they're set on fire. I mean, you look here in Acts 2. This is what happened. Chapter 2, verse 1. We'll start there. It goes, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay? So unity is key, too. We can take that and you put that in the bank. You know, that's one thing I've been seeing in this move of God here in Ohio. We've been coming into unity, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So we see the Holy Spirit came, the promise came, then signs and wonders begin to pour out, because you go down a few verses, and, you know, they're getting mocked. I believe it's in, you know, at verse 12, you know, it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocked, said, they are full of new wine. But verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by prophet Joel. See, that's why I wanted to connect. Here we have a prophecy, who knows how many years ago, and, you know, thousands of years ago in the book of Joel. Then here we have the fulfillment of the promise and this outpouring. And it goes on to verse 17 just to requote what Joel had prophesied in Joel 2:28 and verse 29. You know, it shall come to pass in those days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. He goes on to say he would show wonders in the heaven. So These people had the look of intoxication. Many revivals, people, they get glued to the floor. There's weeping and crying and shaking, and they can't move. They're drunk. They don't know what's going on. And it's like, you know, this is what I tell people. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and things begin to happen, they're like, well, this can't be God. I'm like, listen, you can always guarantee it's God if what was preached, taught, bought, and prophesied was from the Word of God. All right? If it's strictly the Word of God and the Holy Spirit begins to move into place, you can guarantee that's the Holy Spirit, because it's backed by the ordinances of God, the oracles of God, because the very Word of God has been God-breathed. So we can trust that these manifestations are from the Father. But when we get a bunch of weird stuff going on and they're pointing, you know, not to Jesus, but to signs and wonders and miracles, you know, I get these flakes that come in the meeting and they're looking for gold dust and gems and feathers, and I've seen these things. Listen, these are true. I've seen these. For every manifestation of God, there's an equal and opposite. Like, you know, the enemy will try to, you know, imitate, because he can't create, but he can imitate. And so and the defining factor is what's being, you know, preached, taught, bought, prophesied. Is it pointing people to Jesus? Or is it pointing people to that person, to that ministry, or to the signs and wonders and miracles themselves? So then that's why we weigh it. Because I know a lot of people are listening, and they know our ministry, and they're like, you know, they come not believing, but then they come and they're like, oh, my gosh, this is more than I ever bargained for. But I'm just telling you, revival is nothing more than the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love what Leonard Ravenhill, he quoted. I'm going to quote this real fast. You know, this goes along hand in hand. It parallels with what you said, brother. One of these days, some simple soul will pick up the good book, read it, and believe it. Then the rest of us will be embarrassed. We have adopted the convenient theory that the Bible is a book to be explained, whereas first and foremost, it is a book to be believed, and after that, obeyed. Wow. That's heavy. Thank you, Jesus.
Ravenhill said a lot of things. I was just watching a deal with him on YouTube. I like to watch his messages that they're archived on YouTube. And he talks, you know, he really, 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 I'm not going to say he gets mean about it, but he talks about the motivational gospel and says the reason we got so many pygmies in our pews is we got so many puppets in the pulpit.
And, that's true.
Yeah, what we have nowadays that needs to be washed out is a completely motivated, your best life now, self-esteem, motivational gospel, and the Holy Spirit needs to come and wash that out.
Come on. Yeah, if it's put in place, listen, I'm all about the love, the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of the Father. But I've seen in true revival, listen, the holiness of God will sweep in, and I've seen people, the whole room just fall out under the power of God, and they weep and cry and shake. Listen, last Sunday, there was a visitation of the fear of the Lord. He came in this place, in the place where, at the Cleveland Revival Center, and guess what? It's like we were on the floor, the holiness of God was in the room, people were groaning and weeping and crying, and I'm just like, wow. And then all of a sudden, prophecy began to flow forth like a river. I mean, listen, the Father is no joke, and when His Holy Spirit, you know, is poured out, you know, when there's an expectancy by believers, guess what's going to happen next? The unbelievers are going to come, because they're going to be like, what the heck? What is going on? Because that's what we saw in the book of Acts. Once they received, you know, divine supernatural assistance, is what I call it. They received the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. They were thrust, and a lot of people don't realize this. The book of Acts wasn't just like over a short span. It was over, you know, decades. All right, a decade or so. It was like God was moving. It was like a long revival. I mean, it came to the place where people sold everything they had, and they gave to the apostles. They basically can translate that as gave to the early church, and they distributed to each one as they had need, and no one had any lack. I mean, the church was literally, did you know this was added to daily? I mean, daily, because of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that would accompany the believers. Everywhere they went, man, Holy Spirit was showing that, hey, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Yahweh, He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's none above Him. There's none.
Can you imagine
so,
what would happen if we did all that now, if we sold everything we had and gave it to the church?
My God. People would be crying and whining and complaining and everything else. Where's my breakthrough? Where's my breakthrough? You know, even the father of the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin, at one point he wrote a book refuting how people were perverting the message of giving.
Touch?
Yeah, I think so.
You can find that on Amazon.com if you want to go out there and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't even realize that at the end of his life, he was getting really flustered. Some people that he raised up in his ministry, I'm not going to name names because they know who they are. They're on TBN and Daystar and some of these other Christian witchcraft broadcasts. I mean, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. These Christian broadcasting stations, bless their hearts, Lord. But, you know, hey, come on now. I'll give you God's autograph. You just send $700 for 7 months of breakthrough right now, and you're going to get this bottle from the Jordan. It was dipped, and it was by the cross and everything else. Come on.
Hey, do you want your healing?
They're probably in the bathroom filling them up out of their faucets.
You can have the 103, you know, the 103 and 5 blessings, you know.
Yeah.
For today's special order, you're going to get the sweat from this man's brow.
Yeah. I remember back in the 80s, man, that used to be really, really big. These TV ministers, they'd be sending these little claws and then water and then oil. And if you send them a big donation, my grandparents, man, they used to watch him folks back in the day. And that, we'd always get something in the mail about some kind of cloth, and we'd take it and, you know, we'd pitch it because we knew it was just nothing but a money scandal, you know. And,
That's right.
A lot of times, it's people's really working the power of God. It makes them look bad, makes us look bad. And I was
very
talking
bad.
To Jacob earlier. I was talking to Jacob earlier today about how some of these ministers, you know, A.L. and all of them was out there in the 50s and 60s. They was out here doing what they supposed to be doing. But all of a sudden, they had other ministers was trying to get on the bandwagon to make money out of it, and that they would hire people to act like they were sick and all that, which was hurting the body of Christ because they was making money off the body of Christ. And that's why every time I see somebody supposed to be walking in the power of God, I'm very specific and I'm very careful about. To letting them on and all this stuff because you never know what they're really doing. You got to go to God to reveal to you what's really going on because
you know,
there
you,
is some
you,
people.
This is what I see. You're not going to have to advertise a fire. You're not going to have to advertise a true move of God because, listen, everyone comes running when there's a fire. You know, likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it. The community will already know it. People will come running north, south, east, and west. God is very capable. He's very able. He's not handicapable, or he's very capable of notifying his flock that, hey, I'm moving in this region at this church. There will people that have never even known that revival is going on will just show up because God said be there. I mean, I've heard and I've seen God too many times just supernaturally draw. He says, I will draw all men unto you, all men. You know why? Not because of that person, but because of Jesus in that person. My God, my
oh,
God, my God.
I want to tell a story real quick. I'm a follower of John G. Lake. I'm not a follower. I'm a student of John G. Lake Ministries in Dallas, Texas. And the guy who oversees the ministry had a meeting back in when he first got started in Hot Springs, Arkansas. A lady flew him out there. Out in the middle of nowhere in the woods, there was this old crack house that got turned into a church. And she wanted him to come out there and do a meeting. And it was out in the middle of nowhere, man. He said you had to purposely be trying to find this place. And he said that he started this meeting, and this lady invited a whole bunch of people to this meeting, like, you know, a whole bunch of people, like big-time people like Clement Hombard and a few other, you know, what we had people we consider big names now. And he said there was a few people there, and he said all of a sudden while he was teaching, these people would show up out of nowhere, like five or six families came. And he said they would answer the door, and he said, what are you doing here? He's like, well, God told me to come here. I was asleep in Georgia, And I woke up one day, and God told me to load up my family and come see you. He said, turn here, turn there, turn here. And we just wound up here, you know. And it just happened.
That's pretty awesome. So what we're going to do, right quick, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. And I'm going to play Forgiveness. We'll be right back, folks.
Thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's a whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Prisoner free, there is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Stan. We're back. We was talking behind closed doors there about things, and William got a little lit up there. But anyway, he can get lit back up.
You cannot
here on the
keep
show
this
here.
Guy in a cage, man. You got to let him loose, you know?
Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit. I tell you, by the Spirit of the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit. I am just so hungry for revival. I mean, like I was telling my brothers behind the scenes, you know, we need revival in America. We need revival in the churches. I mean, my God, we need the Holy Spirit. And what I was telling them, folks, is that, you know, so many churches, they're trying to have church without the Holy Spirit. I mean, they might as well call it lighting a strange fire, because you're lighting a strange fire that's not commissioned nor backed by God. It's backed when it's Holy Spirit. It's backed by his holy, precious Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, if we're ever going to have an Acts 2 church, we need a Matthew 3:11 encounter. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, if we're going to see a move of God, if we're going to see the church added to daily. I mean, honestly, for all of you listening, how many know or like, is your church being added to daily? Come on, let's just be real here. Let's be honest. Or is it one of these deals you wait till Easter or Christmas, or Friends Day? I mean, come on, is that the only time we see some fresh faces? I mean, God, we almost have to bribe the people to come into church. But what happens when we actually begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to have to bribe anybody. We're not going to have to pay anybody. We're not going to have programs. We're not going to have any of this. Listen, you're not even going to have one of these beautiful pulpits and churches. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, look what William Seymour, like my brother was talking about William Seymour. I mean, they straight up posted up in a building that cost them $8 a month to rent. I mean, rich, it didn't matter if you're white, black, green, yellow, poor, it didn't matter what creed, class, whatever. I mean, you would come, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was the drawing factor, and that's what added to the church, and that's what saved souls. That's what brought transformation. That's what brought repentance and healing and deliverance. And like I said earlier, too many of you are seeking healing and deliverance and salvation outside of the healer, the deliverer, and the Savior. Come on, let's be real.
Amen.
Let's be real.
Amen.
You can't do it without the Father. You need the Father. You need His Holy Spirit. My God, I teach on a believer's authority, and I truly believe that most of the church hasn't even moved past the level of just in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons and heal all manners of sickness. And they think they have the Holy Spirit. They're so void of the Holy Spirit, they don't even know it. My God.
I know they're talking about Azusa Street, and they said Azusa Street was one of the outbreaks that was more of a unity. It was a unity outbreak because, you know, the African Americans, Caucasians, the Japanese, they've all come in together to worship God. It wasn't one race there. It was everybody. It's kind of like a moth to a flame when the light. See, God is within everything. We don't understand it. We think God is in all this, but God's in everything. And when you got the flame of God there that's actually manifesting, you know, parts of us, the Holy Spirit's within us, is going to be drawn to the maker of it. And then we're going to be drawn to it. The Father's going to talk to us. That's why to get the Holy Spirit lit with inside of us where we can hear the communication with the Father. And what's so important about getting lit with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit lit within you is that you have a better communication with your Christian friends, because if they get the Holy Spirit within them, when you pray, you'll see how things happen quick. You'll get communication between the church quick.
Well,
you know
what that
Spirit.
Is, brother? That is
Go
the
ahead,
mystical
please.
Union. That is the mystical union of the body of Christ. See, Christ is the head. We're the body. Now, if I'm a toe, and brother, you're a finger, my other brother, you're a kneecap, okay? How much distance is there really between us? So when we have that corporate unity in the Holy Spirit, there's a corporate agenda. And that's what one of my heart's cries to get the leaders together. But you know what? They're all about who's got the bigger anointing or who's got the bigger church. And it's like, my God, it's not about you, brother. I mean, did you not realize that it has nothing to do about you?
Yeah, William, we exactly know what you are. You're the foot, the butt kick.
That's right.
You're the foot.
Well,
the
what
kick.
It comes down to is, what it comes down to is we need to become the walking dead and let just Christ reign through us.
Come on. There it is. It ain't about us. I tell people, it's not about you. You know, this prosperity gospel, I love the prosperity, but you know what? True prosperity is in Him. True prosperity is I give not because I want something in return, because I want to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just be real here. I mean, you know what? I'm tired of candy-coated. I'm tired. I don't know about you all, but I like my coffee straight up. I like real sugar. I like real cream. And you know what? Too much of the church, you know, they're drinking the diet soda. They're drinking the artificial sweetener. And we know that. We know by scientific experiment that they have found that it literally causes cancer. So it may taste sweeter, and it may feel like it's calorie-free. But you know what? You are paying a price a lot worse than drinking and having the real thing. I mean,
hey,
that's what's happening in these churches.
Whew, amen.
That is a good word.
Amen.
That word,
yeah.
That
amen.
Word right there was worth the whole show.
Come on now.
Yeah, amen.
Come on. Thank you, Holy
amen.
Spirit. Ha, my God.
Amen.
We need
yeah,
Holy Spirit.
The thing about it is that, you know, there's so many things going on, and you don't really recognize this till you get out in the community and you see how people are reacting in churches and stuff. And then when you actually – some of these churches don't want to see the Holy Spirit. It's like I was on the Sid Roth show the other day. I was in the audience. They had this guy came in there, and he's like, the churches has actually fired the Holy Spirit because they don't want him to outbreak into the church because they
oh,
might
wow.
have to get up out of the pews.
Oh.
Oh,
they
wow.
might have to get up out of the, they said they like the Father and the Son. They're cool, but the Holy Spirit, when he comes in and moves, they just don't got time for that. And,
man,
yeah,
I'm
you ever hear that
cop-out
doctrine? They're like,
I talked to this guy after he got back from Sid Roth, and he ain't even told me that yet.
you ever hear this cop-out doctrine? They're saying that, you know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. I mean, listen, he was anything but a gentleman when he blew in on Acts chapter 2. I mean, these people were so messed up and drunk that they were getting accused of being drunk, not by the Spirit, but by the natural wine. I mean, come on, let's just keep it in. Oh, man, they're like, let's keep it in the box. We're going to put Holy Spirit on the third pew.
Okay.
We're going to bring him out around the second and fourth song. And,
I'm gonna tell you what's so funny about having the Holy Spirit. What's funny about having the Holy Spirit on you is when you get in a car with a bunch of unbelievers and ones that's got, you know, some demons in them.
Yeah.
Get in the car with them, see how them squirm. They're running back and
no,
forth.
No, yeah, boy, oh, my
car.
God. I go out to restaurants and try to eat, man. One time I was with my chief intercessor. She's like a spiritual mother, 77 years old. Man, this woman's more on fire than the majority of the church. And we was out eating some breakfast, and I'll never forget this man that was sitting behind her in the booth, he starts growling. He's like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this? I'm like, what's going on here? He's like, he's getting delivered. I said, cool. And he's over here manifesting his friend. Across from him, you should see the look in his eyes like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my friend? He's looking at him, are you okay? What's wrong with you? He started growling.
But man,
like,
he
just another day
food,
in the glory.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's funny.
Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Make
there,
a breakfast
it's,
today.
There's something going
like
on
it.
Right now around where I live at. I don't know what's going on in Ohio. I mean, everything sounds good, but my dad, I was with him the other day, and he said the congregations around here and the churches are shrinking. And
wow.
I think I finally just dawned on me why I think that's happening. And I also heard it's happening in other places around the country. And I think it's because people are growing so tired of the same old, that they're just tired of being there.
They're tired of hearing about it. I'm tired. I don't know about you. How many are listening are tired of hearing about healing and going to healing schools and seeing no healing? You know, I mean,
right.
You can make a leg grow out by yanking on it. I mean, come on. Let's just – I mean, it's not real hard here. I mean,
yeah.
You know, let's talk about real supernatural miracles. I mean, people being healed from diabetes and cancer and got cripples lame, walking, getting up out of wheelchairs. I mean, that's when you start seeing real miracles,
I mean,
okay?
I'm going to tell you one thing. I went to one of these big-time evangelists, dude, and they supposedly they helped the Holy Spirit going on in there, and they brought this guy in a real wheelchair. And did you know they pushed that guy back out in the wheelchair and he never got out of it?
Wow.
Open the back door. I was like, what's up with this, man? I said, the last revival I went to, the guy got out of the wheelchair was dancing with the minister, dude. I said, what's up with this? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like,
look,
crazy,
like I said, like God is handy capable, you know. I don't know. I don't know if maybe I can heal this one and maybe that one. He said, I've given you authority to heal all manners of sickness.
Yeah,
come on.
Crazy,
not
man.
Some.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Like, when they sneak in the sick out the back door because they don't think they can do anything with them. You know, it's not really working for them, man.
Wow.
They're dumping them like a grease trap after a Friday night drive-through service at Mickey D's. Come on now. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Jesus.
I mean, I think I'm going to
have
to pray
for
him.
The back door because you can't do anything with them.
That's horrible. We pray for them, Lord.
And the thing of it is, didn't Jesus pay a high price for that dude's healing? Didn't Jesus pay a high price for everybody's healing? He needed to get
He gave it all, man.
And that guy there in that wheelchair, they push out back door. He paid a high price for that guy, and he needed to get his glory, dude. It's awesome to see people actually really working the power and show what Christ did for him instead of ones that's not really showing and kind of like manipulating the body of Christ, and it's really
right. Or
really
well, they
crazy.
Have a secret agenda. They got motives. Their agenda is just like the false prophets. You know, it talks about Jeremiah 23, and they're just about themselves. They're presumptuous. They're self-willed. They're self-motivated. It's not really about the kingdom of heaven. It's about having a program, and let's hope Holy Spirit shows up so I can get a good offering. And
I think programs are what's killed everything, to be honest with you.
Oh, God, yeah. I agree on that. Listen, I'm going to give you a scripture. Check this. 1 Galatians 1:9. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be cursed. All right, and then he goes on to say, verse 10, for do I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? See, these men are man-pleasers, and they're tickling people's ears, and they're telling people what they want to hear. But listen, the power is in the blood. The power is in the finished work of the cross. And this is why Paul was writing the church in Galatia, because what happened is these deceptive people were coming in and trying to bring the law into the church. They were trying to bring rules and regulations and circumcision and all this and that. And he's like, listen, if anybody comes and teaches or preaches any other gospel, and this goes for all this wacky stuff going on out there, anything other than the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to be cursed. And what that means is, what happens is we actually end up back under the law. And we end up not reaping the blessings. We end up reaping the curses. So basically, you can go and tell these people, if you're coming in and bringing something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, go read Deuteronomy 28 and read the curses that are going to come upon your life and ministry, because that's the fruit they're going to bear. And you know, and I'm tired. I know this has shifted in a little bit of a different direction, but we need to stick to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. I said on the last radio broadcast, I'll say it again, Second Corinthians 11:3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, Eve, he said, don't let your minds be deceived like Eve by the serpent from the simplicity that's in the gospel. It's simple. And what they try to do is they try to interpret it, they try to read into it, and it's exactly what it says. It's not a book that needs to be, these theologians, they get so whacked out in left field because it's all assumption. And guess what, brothers? What are the first three letters of that word? Oh, ha, ha, yeah, because that's what you're going to make out of yourself if you try to interpret the Word of God. The Word of God says, no man shall add nor take away from the Word. So you can't add to it, you can't take away from it. So interpretation is not revelation. And what's going on is many people are building, like, all right, the Word of Faith movement, they build a doctrine off of it, and they've went so far off in left field, and guess what? It's a perverted gospel, all right? You know, the gospel of grace. There's true grace, and then there's greasy grace. There's a grace that's just not of God. It's like, you know, we don't have to repent. We don't say we're sorry. You don't have to forgive. And I'm like, yeah, how's that work out? If you cheated on your wife, would you just look at her? I'm going to tell her you're under grace. Come on. Let's see how fast you'd be sleeping on the couch, or you'd be living outside. Come on now. She'll probably poison your food.
Dude's going out shoplifting, and they come and the cops come talk to him. He says, I'm under grace, dude. I'm good. See how that works.
Right.
You're getting handcuffed, and you're standing up the road, dude. That's what
tell the cop,
man.
I'm under grace.
Yeah. Or going to rob a bank and getting caught and being like, dude, I'm free from the law, you know.
Right, or how about this? They preach about hell, all right? Now, there's, I call them hell preachers. I am, yeah, we know that there's hell. We know that. That's why we're Christians. We're not going to go there, duh. But, you know, it's fire and brimstone, and what that breeds is nothing but condemnation. The Bible says, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So what it is that they'll take a spiritual truth, and they'll pervert it, and they'll build a whole doctrine out of it. And see, what that is that's nothing more than what Jesus warned us, doctrines of demons. And see, all this quenches – this is one of the reasons we can't come to unity, because we have so many different doctrinal standpoints and beliefs and belief systems. It's like, how are you going to ever effectively have revival without actually, you know, changing the mindsets of the culture, the mindsets of the people, the mindsets of these religious people? They have to just come into one unified fact that they believe in Jesus Christ. If they could just say, okay, you know what, maybe I don't like what you're preaching and teaching and prophesying. Maybe I don't understand it, or maybe I don't want to understand it, but you believe in Jesus and that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day so that you might receive eternal life. Let's just say that's one common ground we can have. And put aside all your doctrinal differences, and this is what this revival here in Ohio is about. We are literally just saying, okay, come together and let's just love Jesus. I mean, come on. I mean, how hard is it, really? And you know what the Father's doing? He's honoring it, and he's blessing us, and he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. People are prophesying. But listen, people last night when the body was being activated and laying hands and the power of God was working through them, last Friday, a woman got touched with the fire of God so strong that, you know what, it was awesome, because my other brother, Wes Geiger, he's a revivalist, been to 20 nations of the world, and God gave him commission to open up the Cleveland Revival Center to begin with. But he said, God will use a two-year-old. And that's what I saw, because he took this woman, never operated in the power of God in her life, went and laid hands on everything in that room, and every person in that room was on the floor, rolling around, crying and laughing in the Holy Spirit. Man, it was just supernatural splendor. Awesome, it was like, wow. I just stepped back and I said, man, Holy Spirit, Father, you just got that much bigger.
Amen. And one thing, I mean, I can say some stuff about grace is because when you actually are saved and you actually really, really accepted the Lord, the Lord is a heart guy. He knows your heart. He knows when you go to him and really need him in your heart. Now, if you go up there and you're asking the Lord to come to your heart, but you don't really mean it, he ain't going to mess with you, dude. I mean, you go up there and act and cry and all that stuff, just put on a good show, he won't really come to you like he should. But if a real person is really accepting the Lord, their heart is going to change, and that law is going to be in their heart, dude. And they're going to, no matter what happens, they're going to try to change. But if you got a person that's went up to the altar, and they're not really meaning it, and their heart's not open, you ain't going to see them change, man. And you'll start saying, they'll start saying, I'm saved, but I can go.
But you know what? I want to address that real fast. A lot of that isn't. A lot of that is bred through emotionalism. What it is these preachers, and I call that strange fire. They're yelling and screaming and hooting and hollering. There's no presence, no power, no anointing behind them. They call it the anointing. They call it the fire because they can't breathe. I mean, let's just be real. They're choking from the tie and the three-piece suit, and they're dying because they're overheated because they're trying to work up the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit's going, I'm not backing you. And so they get these people up there, those people up there, and they do so through fear and condemnation, insecurity, guilt, and they feel pressured to come up front, and there's no real transformation or change. But listen, when it's the Holy Spirit, I could just sit there and just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. All of a sudden, and do nothing and just stand. Listen, last Friday, God had me stand for 5 minutes, and I had nothing but crickets in the crowd, okay? Everybody's looking at me like a bunch of deer in the headlights, and I'm just like, okay, Holy Spirit, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. It's got to be you. And he's like, just stand here. And I'm just waiting. I'm just standing, and I'm just like, I'm getting nervous. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm trying to do the holy, act, and I'm like, all right, Lord, you can move any time now. All of a sudden, boom, it swept over the crowd. The power of God started hitting. People were laughing, and there was some crying and weeping. And see, that's the true transformation change, because we're trying to take place of the Holy Spirit. His job, he brings conviction of sin. He brings the transformation change. He's the helper. He's the God. He's the comforter. He's going to come and bring, and listen, he's the anointing. Because, you look at in John when he talks about you don't need that any man teach you but the Holy Spirit, Okay, that actually translates in other translations, the anointing. You don't need anyone teach you, but the anointing shall teach you all things, okay? So the Holy Spirit and the anointing are like, you know, a parallel word. It's like, you know, power and authority in the Greek. It's parallel. They mean the same thing. So, you know, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke and removes the burden, not man. And what man's trying to do is trying to take place of the anointing. And that's where we've come into danger. This is why we're not seeing revival.
That's one of the reasons why you see a lot of people in these churches. They've been going to these churches for years, and they've not really changed a whole lot. And the thing of it is, you know, if they've not really received the Holy Spirit or received Christ, you know, they ain't going to have nothing really in there to change them except for empty words, you know. And that's where you see people going to church and sinning like crazy. They're going to jail. They're changing the wives like people change underwear. And you just truthfully, man, and they're going to bars, and they might even go to a bar after church, you know, because they don't.
Yeah, I always say this: people are coming in depressed, and they're leaving oppressed.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have the Holy Spirit in them to guide them, man. They don't have no guidance system at all.
Well, you got people
who
have been sitting in the same church for 20 years, and they're just doing the same thing they were doing when they first got there.
They need to do a fresh download on the GPS. You know, God's positioning system. We need to get with it. Come on.
Yeah. They're like, have you saw these professional airlines where they got these airplanes that's got these guidance systems in them? They put it in the guidance system and it controls itself. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. When God comes and puts the Holy Spirit in you, that's your guidance system to guide you
that's
where
right.
you need to go. And with that guidance system, you're going to go haywire, man. You're going to be going to jail. You're going to be doing crazy things because you're living amongst flesh. You're going, the flesh teaches you what your flesh brain is telling you to do. And what's happening, your flesh brain has been learning from TV, from your parents, from Tom, Dick, and Harry back behind the barn telling you different weird things, from everybody out here. And when you're gaining information from these folks, what do you think is going to happen to your life? You're going to end up in jail.
Right.
You're going to have no job. Life is going to be miserable, man. I mean, who would want to live a life like that? But with the Holy Spirit, He's going to reprogram that brain, that fleshly body, where you can understand what's going on. That's why back in Adam and Eve, man, they had their God was programming them. He was walking with them. They were staying in the holy with Him.
I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, isn't that a prophetic picture here? They walked with God in the cool of the day, and here we are thousands of years later after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of the Father, the coming of the promise, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we walk hand in hand with the Spirit of the living God. I mean, come on, look at it. It's a prophetic picture of the finished work. I mean, we just, it's like we went full circle. We started in the garden, we ended up in the garden. I mean, thank you, Jesus. I mean, it's a place of rest, a place of breakthrough, a place of healing, a place of revival. I mean, everywhere we walk, I mean, you know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that's in me is in each and every one of you. It's like I tell the people, you know, you got the same measure. It's in you. It's just waiting to be revealed in you and through you. And you need to just press in and just step out. I mean, my God, He's going to touch you. He's going to fill you. And you'll never be the same. Never. Never.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Now, William, where's your next revival? I know you said you had one in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. The 31st, we're heading down to Columbus with this man's on fire, Pastor Jerry Roth. He's really an apostle. He's so humble, he calls himself a pastor. I'm like, brother, you're an apostle. You got an apostolic ministry. And, you know, we partnered. He came up here about 2-3 weeks ago with Cleveland Revival Center and also with another pastor, Pastor Daniel Corr. And, you know, it was supernatural. I mean, my God, the power of God between the three of us was just absolutely, I mean, the four of us. I mean, actually five of us. I mean, it was Holy Spirit. It was all five of us. It was the four men, and it was one Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit did everything. It was awesome. But, you know, I'm going to be down in Columbus, Ohio. Groveport, Ohio. And it's going to be at a town hall on Main Street. I got a banner on my website. And I got at joyfireministries.com. Also, June 6th and 7th, we're going to be at Lifewater Church. You know, and that's going to be partnering again with Pastor Daniel Corr. So these pastors, we're grouping together. There's these strategic alliances that have been going on all through Ohio. End of June, we're going to be in Florida, in St. Augustine, Florida. We're going to be there for about a week. And we're partnering with Brandon Holt, which is an awesome. You can check him out on YouTube. He's got Holt, H-O-L-T. He's got some awesome, super anointed music. He's like another Rick Pino. I love the guy. And we're going to partner up for 3 days of revival there. And later in September, we'll be in Jersey with Prophet Mike Wills. He's a super anointed fire starter, man of God. We're going to have a week-long prophetic conference and on the shore, Jersey Shore, which is
dude.
I know. I've been in North Carolina 7-8 times. I'm like, Lord, send me back. I'm ready. Open the doors. Let's have revival.
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hey,
I'm ready.
Can you tell the people one more time how they can reach you, like all your information?
Yeah, absolutely. You can check us out at www.joyfireministries.com. All our media, we have a media section too. I just want to let you give a shout out about this, where all our media is 100% free. Sign up for our newsletter, because every month I'm sending out free MP3s. And, you know, I just truly believe, like what the word says, you know, what is my reward or my pay? That I should preach the gospel free of charge, not abusing my authority in the gospel. I just truly believe that. How can you take a revelation that came from the living God and then turn around and market it and merchandise it? Now, I have no problem selling, you know, books and CDs and just saying, hey, you know, for a love offering or whatnot. But, you know, we need to get this, these teachings, these revelations into the hands of each and every believer. And if you can't afford it, that's why we make it all free. We just make it all free.
Amen.
If they feel like giving a donation, then praise the Lord. You know, they're only helping further advance the gospel of Jesus Christ and revival.
Amen.
Because we have links right. If you want to see what God's doing in Ohio right now, just go to our homepage on our website. I have a video right up there of what God is doing just of last week's service. And
Amen.
It was just phenomenal. The demonstration
Amen.
Of power and spirit. Praise God.
Oh. William, it's good talking to you again. We might have you on some other time, and it's always a pleasure to hear you talk and teach there.
Oh, thank you.
And,
yeah.
Oh, shoot, man, I got saved again listening to you.
Praise God.
And,
I love you guys.
Y'all have a good day, and this is the end of the healing show for today, and we'll come back to see you next Saturday. God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection.